Hey everyone, welcome back. It's been a while. A quick note about tonight's show. The following audio was recorded live at the True Crime Podcast Festival in Austin, Texas. As such, the audio quality isn't quite the same as you're used to. Rest assured though, as we move into our next topic of discussion, we'll be back with all of our equipment. For now, enjoy Abandoned Ship, The Vanishing of the Mary Celeste, as it was presented live in front of an audience in Austin.
You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
It's December 5th, 1872. The waters of the Atlantic are cold and desolate, unforgiving. A British brigantine, the De Grazia, sits about 400 miles east of the Azores when crew members spot a ship that seems to just be bobbing on the endless waves, lifeless, in an ocean that seems to never end. The captain of the De Grazia, David Morehouse, was surprised when he discovered that the ship his men were seeing was none other than the Mary Celeste, a brigantine that left New York City 8 days earlier, bound for Genoa, Italy. Surely they should have made it by now, he thought. Something must be wrong. Under the order of Captain Morehouse, the De Grazia changes course in an attempt to investigate the seemingly abandoned ship. Upon arrival at the Celeste, Morehouse sends a search party that includes First Mate Oliver DeVoe and Second Mate John Wright to board the brigantine and begin a search. Among the many strange things that the De Grazia crew discovers upon boarding the ship was that her vessels were set, her cargo intact, but her crew of 10, including Captain Benjamin Briggs, his wife, and their 2-year-old daughter, was nowhere to be found. Below deck, the ship's charts and maps were a mess, but present. Its only lifeboat was missing, and one of its 2 pumps had been strangely disassembled. There was over a 6-month supply of both food and water, but no one aboard the ship to consume it. The absence of life aboard the Celeste immediately fuels rumors and speculation that still send shivers down the spines of some of modern day's most seasoned nautical investigators. Again, under orders of Captain Morehouse, the crew of the De Grazia takes control of the abandoned ship and sails it 800 miles to Gibraltar, where a British court convenes a salvage hearing to determine if the spoils of the Mary Celeste would be divided up amongst the crew of the De Grazia under maritime salvage insurance law. The case wouldn't be so cut and dry, though, as the Attorney General in charge of the inquiry, Frederick Solly Flood, suspects that foul play may have played a role in the mysterious vanishing of the ship's crew. And that is where tonight's story begins. Welcome back to Vanished. This is the Mary Celeste.
I tried so hard and got so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had to fall to lose it all, but in the end, it doesn't even matter.
All rise. The Vanished Court is now in session. The Honorable Darren Wood presiding.
You may be seated. This is the case of His Majesty Attorney General versus Captain David Morehouse. Are we ready to proceed?
We are.
Defense is ready.
Can the prosecuting attorney read the indictment?
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. Today we are here on the trial of Captain David Morehouse, the gentleman sitting here. And we will be reading this indictment so that you understand what the charges are. The grand jury charges that on or about December 4th of 1872, David Morehouse, master of the Canadian ship, Dei Gratia, intentionally or knowingly caused the death of Captain Benjamin Briggs, master of the American ship, the Mary Celeste, as well as his wife, Sarah Briggs, their young, beautiful daughter, Sophia Briggs, and sailors Albert Richardson, Andrew Gilling, Edward Head, Volkert Lorentzen, Arian Martins, Boy Lorentzen, we don't know his first name, sadly, so we call him Boy, and Gottlieb Gandenschild, by violence or brutal treatment during the passage of the Atlantic Ocean from New York to Genoa, Italy. That is what he is charged with, and that is what we intend on proving.
And how does the defendant plead?
Not guilty.
So the parties agree and are bound to the following facts. The Mary Celeste was a 19th century American merchant brigantine ship. On November 7, 1872, the Mary Celeste departed New York City, bound for Genoa, Italy, under the command of Captain Benjamin Briggs. In addition to Captain Briggs, the Mary Celeste carried the captain's wife, Sarah, his two-year-old daughter, and seven crew members. The Mary Celeste cargo included 1,701 barrels of industrial alcohol. No spirits of any kind were on board. On December 12, 1872, the Canadian merchant brigantine ship, Dei Gratia, commanded by Captain David Morehouse, arrived at Gibraltar. The Mary Celeste arrived the next morning, piloted by Captain Morehouse's first officer, Oliver DeVoe. The Mary Celeste was seaworthy, and Captain Briggs, his wife, his daughter, and all seven of the crew members were not on board. Their whereabouts have never been discovered. The parties further agree that all documentary and physical evidence is admissible. So at this point, we'll proceed with opening statements.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. There are mysteries in life that exist in this world. Things such as, why are we here? What is our purpose on this earth? And those are mysteries that we will never know the answers to, most likely. However, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that today, this case that we bring to you is no mystery whatsoever. This gentleman, Captain David Morehouse, quite to the contrary as the mysteries that I previously discussed, is guilty of the crime of murder. This, plain and simple, was a massacre of 10 innocent human beings, a series of deeds more dastardly than I can recall in all of my lifetime. And for what, you may ask? Well, while I have no obligation to you to prove motive, I understand that it helps you as a jury to know why. Why would someone do such a thing? And the answer is simple. Greed. Yes, the evidence will show that the Mary Celeste, an American merchant brigantine ship, left New York on November 7th, 1872, bound for Genoa, Italy, carrying 1,700 barrels of industrial alcohol. The evidence will further show that on December 12th, a Canadian merchant brigantine ship, captained by this man named the Dei Gratia, and the Mary Celeste being piloted by a man under Morehouse's charge, his first officer, Oliver DeVoe, arrived in port at Gibraltar. However, the evidence will further show that upon arrival, those 10 souls that left New York, able-bodied and healthy, on November 7th, vanished into thin air. Much like an unpleasant flatulence does in the wind. And these innocents have never been seen nor heard from again. I will show you that this ship had nary an intact sail. And somehow, if you were to believe the defense's theory, drifted afloat some 300 miles, completely unmanned. What a miracle! Only to so conveniently be discovered by our good captain,
and his rude band of marauders.
Luckily for them, the entire ship's cargo was fully intact, which would, of course, bring them quite a fee. I will then provide you with the evidence that Briggs' captain log showed that entry stopped, and Briggs is the captain of the Mary Celeste, who has vanished off the face of the earth. And of course, like any captain, he would keep a log daily until he didn't on November 24th or 25th. They stopped, mysterious, which would seem to indicate that something had happened on that date, yes? We will show you that there was no indication whatsoever in those logs that there was harsh weather, that there was illness of any kind, nor there was any issues with the ship whatsoever. Why would a captain abandon his vessel? He wouldn't, not under those conditions. Yet the defendant will claim that the discovered ship was rudderless with no crew. And I will show you that Morehouse's claim was that he was going to bring the ship in order to recover $20,000 to $25,000. That's quite the windfall. And quite the motive for murder. Thank you.
May it please the court. Ladies and gentlemen, our world would not be what it is today without the merchant sailors of the 19th century. It was a thankless and dangerous job to sail a wooden brigantine across the Atlantic with just a handful of men. Takes dedication, work ethic, courage, discipline, and sacrifice. Captain Benjamin Briggs had all of those things, as did his crew, and as does my client, Captain David Morehouse.
You're welcome.
Who is also himself a merchant sailor, and who will testify that he knew Benjamin Briggs well. Yes, Captain Morehouse is accustomed to performing thankless tasks. And on December 4th, 1872, he saw a ship that was in clear distress. He could have kept going. He could have sailed right into Gibraltar. He had places to be, he had a deadline to meet, but he didn't. He rescued the Mary Celeste, reunited it with its owner. And how was he thanked? Irons on his wrists. Captain Morehouse doesn't sit here today because the government has evidence of a crime. Captain Morehouse sits here today because those in power would rather believe that a man would murder his fellow sailor in cold blood than face the fact that the sea is a violent and unpredictable force, and that no matter how men try to contain it and tame it, it can take the lives of 10 souls indiscriminately and leave no trace. And that's a scary thought. And the government doesn't want to face that fact. So they have falsely accused my client of murder. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of this presentation, after the government tries its best to muster the evidence, you will see, you will learn, that Tunnel Vision is not just the name of a podcast. It is what's happening in this case.
Is the state ready to proceed with its first witness?
We are, Your Honor.
Proceed then.
The state would call Sir Frederick, or Madam Frederick Solid Blood.
Can you raise your right hand? You gonna tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Good morning, madam.
Good morning.
Would you state your name, please?
My name is Frederick Solly Flawed.
And what is your current occupation?
I am the Attorney General of Gibraltar for the Queen and Her Majesty's Admiralty Court.
Impressive.
It is.
Yes. this. How long have you held this position?
I have held this position for 6 years.
Ah, and please, tell the jury what your position entails.
I oversee salvage claims in Gibraltar. When a sailor brings an abandoned ship to Gibraltar, it is my job to determine the award price based on the value of the ship and cargo. Thereafter, the owner of the ship or cargo may choose to pay the salvage price and retrieve his property, or relinquish this property to the Crown.
Interesting. So, I want to be clear. The owner can still come to claim a ship that has been salvaged.
That is correct, sir.
Yes. And how often does this occur, Adam?
It occurs from time to time.
Okay. And does a salver still collect the award when the property is relinquished to the Crown?
No.
Okay. And with regard to the Mary Celeste, did the owner come to claim the property?
No.
So then, the salvers in this case, the defendant, would stand to collect his salvage fee.
Correct.
And madam, please tell the jury, how much did Captain Morehouse stand to collect as the salvage prize for the Mary Celeste?
Quite a large sum, sir. It was valued between $40,000 and $50,000, and he could have collected between $20,000 and $30,000.
That is quite a sum of money.
It is.
Yes, it is. And that amount was based upon what?
Upon the value of the ship. It arrived in quite good condition, which, quite frankly, is very unusual for a salvage ship.
I understand. Typically, a salvage ship is afloat and it's most likely undergone all kinds of trauma in terms of weather or it's gone past.
I'm going to object to leading at this point, Judge.
And also, we can't forget about the cargo. That is also incorporated into the value as well, yes?
That is correct.
And what condition was the Mary Celeste in based upon your inspection, which you did personally?
That is correct. I have personal knowledge of the ship.
And what condition was it in?
It was in very good condition. It was very unusual to have a salvage ship in that type of condition.
Okay. So upon our fair captain coming in to make his claim, were you suspicious?
Well, yes. In addition to his obvious fashion crimes, he appeared very rushed and annoyed. I'm sorry. I have to object to the non-responsiveness and just the sheer rudeness.
Overruled.
I mean, we've all seen the hat.
And what caused your suspicions?
But he was quite flustered at my request, my very reasonable request, to inspect a ship.
Because it's natural for you to inspect all ships on a claim, correct?
I will admit that if they show up and they're clearly in, very poor shape, we may do a less thorough examination. However, this one was in near perfect condition.
I see. And, madam, did you have reason to know the Mary Celeste captain, Benjamin Briggs?
Yes.
And how did you come to know Captain Briggs?
He has an excellent and stellar reputation as a sailor in the area. He's very well known to be a meticulous and experienced captain.
And based on your knowledge on this man, do you believe that Captain Briggs would, under any circumstances, voluntarily abandon his seaworthy vessel, the beloved Mary Celeste?
Going to object to that question, calls for speculation.
Sustained.
In your experience, madam, would a capable captain of a ship ever abandon their vessel?
No honorable captain would ever voluntarily abandon their ship.
And did you have the opportunity to examine the ship's logs and charts?
I did, sir.
And this examination took place upon the Mary Celeste itself, correct?
That is correct, sir. Okay.
And what did you learn?
I learned that the logs were meticulously kept in perfect order until they were not.
And were the logs done daily?
Yes.
Up until the point that they weren't?
That is correct.
and after the date of November 25th or 24th, whatever it may be, there were no more logs entered.
That is correct, sir.
So from that, did you determine that something had happened to the captain and crew?
There is no reason that I could think of other than some sort of foul play that a captain as meticulous as Captain Briggs would stop keeping his logs.
And did the logs make any mention whatsoever of foul weather?
No.
Of illness?
No.
About issues with the vessel itself?
None.
Nothing! See. Sir, had any of your...
Was that a question? Are we asking questions or are we testifying?
Wrap it up.
Thank you. Sir, had any of the aforementioned or matter of any of the aforementioned occurred, would you expect such events to be noted in the log?
Yes.
And would you consider the logs to be thorough in terms of what they stated?
Yes, they were meticulously detailed.
And based on the inspection of these logs and charts, what was your next course of action?
I commissioned Mr. John Austin, my inspector, to do a detailed examination of the ship.
I have nothing for this. Thank you, madam.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, ma'am. Good afternoon. I believe you testified earlier that you were suspicious pretty immediately upon the Mary Celeste arriving at port. Did you not? Yes, I believe any reasonable person would have been suspicious. And what were those suspicions based on, exactly? Well, I had never seen a ship in such good condition brought in for salvage, and then this man appeared with this hat. So a hat and a clean ship. You're not law enforcement, are you?
Excuse me?
You're not law enforcement, are you?
Well, I am the Attorney General of Gibraltar.
Have you ever investigated a crime as part of your job salvaging, you know, processing salvage awards?
Have you spent much time around sailors, ma'am?
I'm going to object to the non-responsiveness to that answer.
Objection to her objecting to her own way.
Answer the question, please. Answer the question.
Could you repeat the question?
Are you a criminal investigator by trade?
Well, I am the Attorney General of Gibraltar, and part of those duties include investigations.
So the answer to that question is no, right?
No.
I'll take that one as a win. Upon your investigation of the Mary Celeste, you commissioned somebody to do some tests. Is that right?
That is correct.
So you suspected blood on the deck.
That is correct.
Objection.
I suspected foul play.
That's not evidence.
Overruled.
And you commissioned a doctor to come take samples of those supposed blood samples, correct?
That is correct.
And what did the doctor say to you after he examined those samples?
He said his testing could not determine whether or not they were
Objection
blood.
Objection hearsay.
Overruled.
Are you sure that's what he said?
No.
Would it help if I showed you the doctor's report?
Yes, I would like to refresh my recollection.
All right, 1 second. Defense offers into evidence the report of Dr. Petron, which we have stipulated is admissible. Need I remind prosecuting attorney?
That works. It's fine.
I'm going to show you this report. Can you please read for me the last sentence of that report?
From the preceding negative experiments, I find myself authorized to conclude that according to our present scientifical knowledge, there is no blood, either in the stains observed on the deck of the Mary Celeste or on those found on the blade of the sword that I have examined. J. Petron.
I'm going to object to the use of the word scientifical.
Sustained.
Overruled.
Sustained.
Overruled.
Definitely sustained.
Overruled.
What?
So you mean to tell me that you were immediately suspicious of my client upon seeing his hat? That you did your supposed due diligence and investigated your supposed crime scene? That a doctor told you that what you thought was blood is not actually blood, and faced with hard facts, you insist still that he's a murderer?
Yes.
No further questions.
Very brief, please, Your Honor.
Aye.
Thank you.
Madam, in your estimation, are there other ways that people could die that would not necessarily leave traces of
blood?
Oh, it's seawater is an excellent solution to wash blood off of ships.
How about if they just tossed them over to drown?
Oh, yes.
Would there be any blood left at that point?
No, the sea monsters would have eaten them.
Yes, exactly. Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, the state would call John Austin to the stand.
Hey,
raise your right hand, please. You can tell the truth, right?
Yeah.
All
right. Good morning, Mr. Austin.
Good morning.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is John Austin.
And what is your current occupation?
I am a surveyor of shipping.
And you had occasion to board the Mary Celeste in order to inspect it as the boat?
Yes, correct.
And did you make any findings?
Objection, that's not how you pronounce her name.
Well, you know.
Sustained.
It's a strange name.
Sustained.
The family name. Did you make any findings with respect to the exterior of the vessel?
Yes, both interior and exterior inspection of the vessel.
And what did you observe on the port side?
On the port side, I noticed mostly the cuts that were made to the sails. They were unnatural.
Now, were those cuts actually made to the hull itself in the wood?
No, they were made to the sail itself.
Okay. And did you also observe damage on the starboard side?
No, I did not.
Are you sure, sir?
Maybe I did. Did I?
Let me ask
you. Ah, yes, the starboard side of the ship. Ah, the starboard. I always get it confused all these years. Still don't know my right from my left, you know.
It happens.
And I am a drunk, so.
But you're not drunk now.
No, I am. I'm drunk.
Objection.
Oh, no, sorry. It's 1873. Give me a break. Yes, the starboard side of the ship was cut in the same manner.
In your expert opinion, could this damage have been done as a result of bad weather?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. And what do you think could have caused...
Objection!
Ask and answer at this point. And what do you think could have caused such damage? A sharp instrument, perhaps?
Yes, the look of...
Objection to bleeding!
Sustained.
Well... He is intoxicated. Do you have any opinion as to whether this damage was intentional or accidental?
By the looks of it, it seemed intentional.
And did it appear that the Mary Celeste had run aground, hit a reef, or become struck by rocks?
I did an exterior inspection. The base of the ship is copper-based, and it looked perfectly new when I looked at it, so there was no, didn't look at all like anything.
Pristine
is the word I was looking for. It was pristine.
And did you find blood on the deck?
Yes.
And what observations did you make of the starboard rail? Maybe blood spatter?
Yeah, there was some blood spatter, blood pools of it.
And potentially a large axe marking?
I did notice that there was something that looked like a sharp axe would do it.
Yes.
For sure. I did notice that.
And would you consider these items to be indicative of a hostile boarding and takeover of the ship, sir?
I've seen some hostile boarding before, and yeah, I would say this was a hostile boarding.
I do not agree more. And did you have occasion to find a sword?
I did find a sword, yes.
In what condition did you find that in, sir?
I found it had a red stain on it. It looked like blood, in my opinion.
May I approach the witness?
Sure.
Thank you. Sir, what do you see in this photograph?
That looks like a sword.
Does this picture accurately reflect the sword as you saw it on the day that you discovered?
Yep, that's the sword right there.
The record can't really tell.
Is it evidence, please?
I
Did you say that you thought that blood had been wiped off?
Yes, there was a stain on the sword. It looked as though somebody had used like a t-shirt or a rag or something. They just pulled off the blood from it.
Okay, and what are the personal items that were left on board? What did you find?
All kinds of stuff. Jewelry, expensive clothing. Everything was there.
What about bad weather gear?
Yes, there was bad weather gear too, now that you mentioned it.
And personal papers?
Personal papers, yeah.
Everything!
Everything.
Everything.
There's so much.
Everything that these people told
Objections for. Objections
to
counsel.
It was there at the time.
Was left upon that ship.
Yes.
Okay. And based on your inspection, in your opinion, would any veteran sailor have any reason whatsoever to voluntarily abandon her?
Only if there's a Kraken attack or something. That would be it.
Which we know is not the case.
No, well, we don't, not 100%.
We're going to say it.
I mean, there could have been. We don't know them.
Remember,
we weren't
you're
them.
My witness,
so, sorry.
Objection to counsel trying to intimidate the witness.
Sustained. The jury will strike the comments or whatever.
And the Mary Celeste and De Grati were the same size, design, and sail plan.
Yes, I noticed that. I saw the De Grati nearby. I decided not to go look at it.
And so it would stand to reason that a person that could sail, say, for instance, the Dei Gratia would also be able to sail the Mary Celeste.
Absolutely, yes.
And the cargo, the 50 barrels of alcohol. In what condition did you find it?
Perfect condition.
Untampered with?
Untampered with.
And in full working order, you said?
The alcohol is in full working order, yes.
And those were discovered in the
hold. Objection, what does it mean for alcohol to be in full working order?
Sustained.
You wrote the affidavit. And those were discovered in the hull of the ship?
Correct.
And upon entering the ship's hull, sir, were you physically overwhelmed by the smell of noxious fumes?
Yes.
No, you weren't.
I was not. Yes, I was not.
So there was no issue of fumes whatsoever, and it did not appear
none.
That any of the barrels had been tampered with or repaired, correct?
Yes.
That's nothing further.
All right.
Stand.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I believe you testified earlier that you believe that you saw blood spatter on the ship. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And have you also seen Dr. Patron's report on the testing he did on those stains?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to disagree with Dr. Patron's report?
Well, I saw blood, so that's all I can... I mean, I saw the blood.
So you would have this jury believe that your eyes are more reliable than state's experts?
I've seen some blood in my day. So I think I know blood when I see it.
Understood, understood. So, you inspected the Mary Celeste's contents as well?
Oh, yes.
And yeah, I believe you testified earlier that there were no personal valuables taken?
Nothing was, yeah, it's all there. Yeah, everything's on the ship.
Doesn't appear that anyone was robbed.
Well, there was no people there to rob. It was just their stuff, so.
And if I'm understanding how salvage claims work, the value is, and the salvage is based on the value of the ship and its cargo, not on the crew's personal belongings. Am I correct in that?
I think there's probably some, maybe.
I don't know, maybe. And you also inspected the cargo?
Correct.
And you testified that you took out 50 barrels of alcohol to inspect?
Yes.
You testified to that?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness? I would like to admit Defense Exhibit 2, which is a telegram. I would like you to take a look at that. Are you aware that after the salvage hearing, the Mary Celeste sailed to its intended destination, where the person who purchased that alcohol did receive their cargo? Were you aware of that?
I was not, no.
And you'll see in that telegram, you will see where it says in the second line, 9 barrels arrived empty. Do you have any reason to disagree with that finding?
I mean, I checked like 20 of them, and I assume the rest were probably full of that.
Okay, so you're saying that you didn't check every single barrel, and that it is possible that your findings and the findings of the person who received the shipment are both true?
Yes.
Great. I have no further questions.
Right after the sentence where it said that 9 of which were empty, do you see where it says a not unusually large number?
Correct.
So that would mean that in transport, sometimes you lose...
Things happen on a ship.
Things happen on a ship. That's right. Nothing further, thank you. Your Honor?
Yes.
Proper rest.
All right.
The defense calls Oliver DeVoe to the stand.
Raise your right hand, please. Your right hand, please. Your other right hand, please. You gonna tell the truth?
Yes.
Sit down.
Ms. DeVoe, can you tell the jury what you do for a living?
I am a second mate. First mate. First, for sure.
And what ship are you the first mate of?
the De Gratia.
And who is your captain?
Captain Morehouse.
And what were you carrying on the De Gratia?
A little over 1,700 barrels of petroleum.
And is there any special precaution that you have to take whenever you are carrying that much petroleum?
Oh, for sure. You must ventilate, and you must ventilate frequently so as to not pollute the air and those of us breathing it.
How was your trip? Were you able to follow those precautions?
Oh, no. We left November 15th of 1872, and for the first several weeks, the weather was so rough, all hands on deck. We only ventilated about an hour those entire couple of weeks.
And to clarify, you mean 1 hour total in those entire couple of weeks?
1 hour total.
Can you tell me your recollection of December 4th, 1872?
Well, December 4th was the first clear day after we left, and once that harsh weather hit, and then we, at some point, the captain called me as he observed a ship about 4 or 5 miles ahead.
And did you also observe this ship?
Once there, yes, I did.
What were your thoughts whenever you observed this ship?
I thought, well, there's a ship. But then I did focus a little, and I did notice it yawing erratically, very erratically.
And did you notice anything about the sails?
Well, it was odd, as there were only very few sails up. And the weather at this point, on that day, once it cleared, we could barely move, even with all our sails up and functional.
So at some point, a decision was made.
Oh yes, that man, he made the decision on his own to intercede the ship.
Intercept
that ship and sent me off to go do this.
So you intercepted the ship?
I did.
And where was Captain Morehouse while you intercepted the ship?
He was drinking on our ship.
So he was on the De Gratia?
Yes.
Did he ever leave the De Gratia?
He never left.
When you arrived at the ship, can you describe what you saw?
I could not see from where I was the name of the ship, so I did not know what ship I was heading towards. But as I got closer, I noticed the tattered sails. Oh, and the ship, it was dragging a few lines that appeared to be damaged rigging as I took my rowboat around the other side and board from that location.
And when you boarded the ship, can you tell me what you saw on board?
Well, I saw no one. It was very odd. There was no one aboard, yet I went from room to room and every door was open.
What about the hatches?
Oh, the hatches were most assuredly open. All open. And the ship appeared to be in very good shape.
Your Honor, I'm going to offer Defense Exhibit 3, a diagram of the Mary System in the hands to you.
Yes.
Can you, using this diagram, show us what hatches were open? You can step off the witness stand if you need to.
As you can see, the fore hatch, this was open. This main hatch, open. And again, this lazarette hatch, open.
Mr. Vaux, can you tell us what that is?
I found this railing taken down. It was removed, this railing.
Was there anything else of note to you on the ship?
Well, there was no boat. No lifeboat on the rail. The wheel was spinning, just spinning. These doors, each of them, as reflected here, open. And then I went to these pumps to determine if there was water inside. And I had to do this process. I had to remove it, but I learned someone had already done this step. They had already removed a pipe from here. You do that to drain water.
And did you take a sounding of how much water was on the boat?
Yes, there was a little bit of water there. It was 3.5 feet of water, which I didn't find unusual at all.
And who piloted the Mary Celeste back to Gibraltar?
Me, I am the most capable. And I took 2 people from Captain Morehouse, and they assisted me in this.
So if I'm understanding you, Captain Morehouse had to split his crew in order to get both ships safely back to port.
He did have to split the crew.
And how was that experience for you, sailing a ship back to port with only half the crew?
It was very scary, but me, as capable as I am, did it.
You may return to the witness stand. I pass the witness.
So, Mr. Ho, yes. You were carrying petroleum in your cargo hold, correct?
Yes.
And that type of cargo requires that the ship be ventilated, correct?
Well, it requires us to ventilate it, to open doors in various places. But when the weather was so rough, we couldn't have doors banging around and everyone was making sure we didn't die.
Right, and that's the issue, correct? You didn't want to die, so that's why you have to ventilate the fumes from the hold, correct?
However, we were not trying to die from the weather, and we had to pick which thing to not die from, and we picked the weather.
As far as the inclement weather, that only allowed you to ventilate for 1 hour over the course of two
Sustained.
Weeks, correct?
It did, but it
Sustained.
Was...
You don't have to answer that. You don't have to.
In terms of your ability to be able to ventilate the ship, you can only do it 1 hour in a two-week period.
Well, it was 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, but yeah, the weather was treacherous, sir.
I understand, but it was pretty fumey on that ship, yes?
I mean... We're already drunk anyway,
Please, non-responsive, yes or no, it was pretty fumey on that ship, wasn't it?
It was, but thank God we got those 10, 15 minutes here and there.
Yes. It was so fumey that it was hard to go down into the hole, correct? I'd say
it wasn't all that hard.
Oh, really?
Well, because we did the 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. If it got bad, we opened some doors.
So you're going to have the jury believe two-week period, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, in a hold full of petroleum, was something that you could just walk around in, and it wasn't so bad.
Well, we liked how it felt when we breathed it, and then if it got to the point that it was really bad, we opened all the doors. I mean, all the doors got open.
So you picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue.
Objection.
Overruled.
All right, fine.
But answer me this, why would I...
You're not asking the questions, madam.
You're lucky.
The shit is going on here.
I want to understand. With these fumes floating about, yet you didn't abandon your ship, did you?
No, we opened all the windows.
You didn't abandon the ship, did you?
We opened all the doors, and then that alleviated the... issue, but only if we left them open.
Did you abandon the ship?
No.
Despite the fumes?
No. We did open those doors a lot.
Yes, I did. So, you happened upon a ship that you saw in distress 4 or 5 miles away, correct?
Correct.
And at that point, as you approached that ship, you had no idea what the name of that vessel was, correct?
No, I couldn't see it from my end.
And you could not see whether or not there were people aboard that ship. Correct?
No.
And that was not until you made the decision to intercept it, correct?
I didn't decide to intercept it.
Oh, you didn't? Really? So who made the decision to intercept that ship?
Captain Morehouse.
And was that his decision alone?
It was absolutely his decision alone.
So you had no say-so in who was going to intercept the ship whatsoever?
Well, that's the way the dichotomy of shippers works.
Your grasp of the shipping language and the terms that are used is just unbelievably spectacular. So let me ask you this.
I have no authority, sir.
Well, I see this. Evident. At this point...
Objection to badgering the witness.
Sustained, and where did your accent come from, sir?
Well,
remember your accent previously.
I've always had the accent.
It's getting like over your
ear, Your Honor. Let me ask you this. As you approached, you noticed there were only a few sails that were flying, correct?
And they were tattered. Very tattered.
And isn't it true, madam, that it is impossible for a ship to sail a great distance, say 300 miles, when there is a ship?
Well, we don't know when the tattering happened. Are you asking me about how the ship, could the ship have moved with the lack of sails?
Yes.
We don't know how long it took for that ship to be on the water before the sails tattered. I assume they didn't start tattered, sir.
Well, we have some idea in terms of the log ended on the 24th and 25th of November, correct?
Yes, I believe the sails could have tattered that way from the weather over 9 days, and it was probably about the ninth day.
A tattered sail is different than a sail that is not completely unfurled, isn't it?
Oh yeah, there were sails not completely un...
Correct, and the sails were down.
Some down, yes, some down.
So in your experience, have you been able to, all your vast experience and your incredible capabilities in terms of sailing, can you sail 300 miles without your sails flying?
Again, you can do it with some sails flying.
Once you boarded the ship, you claimed that all the hatches were open?
Yes.
And you said you searched the ship for 30 minutes, correct?
I did, 30 minutes.
And you claimed that there wasn't a soul on board, correct?
No one there.
Do you have any personal knowledge of how many lifeboats were on the Celeste?
No.
And you claimed that you saw that the portside railing was lying on the deck, correct?
It was, as though somebody took off a lifeboat.
Somebody named Oliver DeVoe?
No, I would assume that would have been the captain of the Celeste, who, in order to rescue his wife and small child.
By way of dropping the lifeboat.
Yes.
Okay. Isn't it true that it was you and your men who dropped that lifeboat into the water in order to make it appear that Briggs and the rest of his crew had abandoned the ship?
No, sir. And if I did, why would I put in my statement that I found it that way when I
just... You're a liar?
Objection, this is rude. This is rude. Also, it's taking a really long time.
Okay, sorry.
Let's not ask questions that have been asked and answered.
So,
four
you were expecting to get the salvage claim money, weren't you?
Oh, that was on me, yes.
That was a life-changing amount of money, wasn't it?
It absolutely was.
Yes, and you didn't get it, did you?
I don't think so. No.
That was the type of money that could drive a man to murder, yes?
I mean, not that man, but maybe a man.
Well, he wasn't on the boat. I have nothing further. Questions are drawn. Turn to the witness.
Mr. Boone, counsel for the government asked you about ventilating your own ship. Were there any children on your ship?
No, but had there been, we definitely would have gotten that kid and abandoned that ship.
No further questions. The defense calls Captain David Morehouse to stand. Captain David Morehouse.
Yes.
Tell us what you do for a living.
I am the captain of the Dei Gratia.
And did you murder anyone?
Absolutely not.
Did you murder your friend, Captain Benjamin Briggs?
Benjamin Briggs was a great friend of mine. Absolutely not.
What about his daughter?
Like a niece.
What about his wife?
Like a really attractive friend's wife. Like my friend's wife.
And whose idea was it to intercept Mary Celeste?
Oliver DeVoe's.
And whose idea was it to bring the Mary Celeste in for salvage?
Oliver DeVoe's.
Sir, did you do anything to the crew of the Mary Celeste?
No.
Did you harm a soul on board?
Absolutely not.
Did you ever set foot on the Mary Celeste?
Totally. Let's wrap it up, man. Come on. Grandstanding and overacting and all that stuff.
Thank you.
Sir, the day that you came upon the Celeste was a day that there was almost no wind, correct?
Correct.
And your ship was barely moving, correct?
Correct.
Isn't it true if there's no wind and only a couple of sails flying, that it would be extremely difficult for a ship to sail?
Correct.
Especially a great distance, say 300 miles.
Depending on the currents.
With no sails, and no wind, you're saying the currents would have a ship sail 300 miles.
Water is a funny thing.
Is it? Yes. Indeed it is. Does it surprise you that... I mean, this is interesting, because you were sitting in the courtroom like DeVoe testifying, correct?
Yes.
Right? Does it surprise you that he claims that it was you that gave the orders to intercept the ship?
It does surprise me.
It does surprise me too, sir. Do you have any explanation for this seemingly horrific inconsistency between you saying it was him and him saying it was you?
Oliver DeVoe wanted to be the captain of the Dei Gratia. This was his or her chance to captain a ship.
Yet you're the captain, right?
Correct.
And he is your charge, correct?
Correct.
And the captain gives the orders, correct?
I was drunk.
I'm sorry, but intoxication is no defense, sir. Do you typically allow your first officers to give you orders?
No.
So you give the orders.
When I'm not drunk.
Sustained.
And you could not see the name of the ship from your vantage point, correct?
I spotted the ship initially.
That's not what I asked, sir. You could not see the name of the ship.
Correct.
And even on approach, you could not read the name of the ship, correct?
Correct.
So you had no idea that that was the Mary Celeste?
Correct.
Right. And you claim that you and your crew risked your lives to get Celeste back to port, correct?
Correct.
And yet, somehow you made it, correct?
I wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't.
That's right. And you wanted to get paid for that salvage, correct? Because you're such, you know, such a risk you took.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you did not get paid, did you?
No.
And that infuriated you?
No.
Oh, no, you weren't annoyed or infuriated?
I was annoyed with the time it was taking to determine the salvage.
Because you had gone through a lot to get that ship back to port.
Correct.
Yes. Sir, is it correct that you order the crew to dispose of all the people aboard the Celeste by any means necessary?
Just to argumentative.
Sustained.
And he's just yelling at this point.
Yeah, we're just going to stop with that and you can go ahead and cross-examine him.
I'm pretty sure that the answer
is... Well, he's my witness.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's just taking someone off.
I've done?
You done.
Get out of here.
I didn't do it.
I believe it. I'm not sure why, but I believe it.
Defense rests.
All right. I'm supposed to read a bunch of stuff to the jury, but I'm going to skip it, I think, because we're so over time. I'll just give the piece of paper to the jury, and they can read it in their deliberation.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I wasn't asking.
Well, he looked at me, so...
Can we have very brief closing arguments? Very brief...
Yeah, go first.
Like, underwear brief, super short closing arguments.
Thank you very, very much for being so patient as we take up all of the time that we're allotted and more. We're so, so very glad that you are here. And very briefly, I'm going to give you the defense's theory of the case based on the evidence that was presented to you today. We heard that when Oliver DeVoe approached the Mary Celeste, there was a railing that was taken off and there were no lifeboats on board. DeVoe also testified that all three hatches were open. We also learned that when the ship's cargo finally made it to its destination, 9 barrels of industrial alcohol were empty. What that necessarily means is that at some point, 9 barrels worth of industrial alcohol emptied into the cargo hold of that ship. We also know from listening to Ms. DeVoe that the weather was so bad that they had very little opportunity to ventilate their ship. And we also know that by the time the De Gracia arrived around where the Mary Celeste was spotted, that was the first time they had seen good weather. So here is our theory of the case. The Mary Celeste was carrying industrial alcohol. They could not ventilate it like they were supposed to, because like the De Gracia, they'd run into bad weather. When they finally ran into good weather, and we know that they ran into good weather, because they didn't take their bad weather gear with them when they left the ship. They finally ventilated their hold, but 9 barrels of alcohol had spilled into the hold. We know from Oliver DeVoe's testimony that the pumps had been messed with. Somebody had already tried to pump the ship out. So by the time Oliver DeVoe got there and he pumped the ship out, there was no longer any evidence of alcohol fumes. It had been drifting for 9 days, and DeVoe herself pumped any evidence of standing alcohol that would have been in that cargo hold. Everyone testified uniformly that Benjamin Briggs was a conscientious and well-respected sailor. Would a conscientious and well-respected sailor who was traveling with his wife and daughter leave port without a lifeboat? I say no. But there was no lifeboat found on board. Why? They escaped to try to get away from the fumes. They tied the lifeboat to the Mary Celeste, thinking it'll air out, we'll go back. But what else did DeVoe see? Rigging that had been damaged was hanging off the side of the boat. Clearly something happened, something tragic happened to Benjamin Briggs, his wife, his daughter, and his crew.
As they were towing along the side or behind the Mary Celeste, we don't know what happened, but we know that they could not get back on that ship. And what was found in their wake was an abandoned ship with its hatches all open as if to ventilate the insides and a tow line hanging behind it. Santa may be a criminal, but Captain Morehouse, he isn't. Thank you.
Everything that woman just said.
Objection.
All right, so this one. The whole concept that potentially the gallery or the hull of the ship was filled with fumes and the crew abandoned the ship, hoping to get back on, has been dispelled by the mere fact of their own testimony. The testimony that their own ship had a more noxious cargo that was being transported. Yet, for 2 weeks, 1 hour, that was all they could do in terms of being able to ventilate, yet they never abandoned the ship. That tells you all you need to know about their theory. People do not vanish into thin air. That is not how it works. People are killed. People are thrown overboard. People are murdered on the ship and then thrown off. Whatever the case may be, what we know is when they got to that ship, there wasn't nary a soul. They want to try to claim, oh, they were airing the boat out. I submit to you that the door was open, the hatch was open. It was 10 people running from their lives from these marauders who were coming to claim their fortune. $20,000, that is the equivalent to $100 million right now. Do you understand that fortune?
Objection, I don't think that's
true. Math.
But the point still remains. A lot of money. I submit to you, and the evidence shows, they came upon this ship. They saw the ability to be able to take it over as they saw women and children. And they made the decision, as cruel as it was, that they were going to end their lives in order to salvage that ship because they knew it had a full hull full of valuable alcohol. So, what they try to do, they get on the ship. He claims he gave the order. If his man went over, a person in his charge, and he gave the order and DeVoe killed everyone on that ship along with the rest of his crew, he is guilty, just as Oliver DeVoe is. He might have well have done it with his own hand. He's a murdering bastard.
Okay, objection. Also, Bubble, stay away from my client, please.
Okay. I submit to you, in closing, I ask you, please, use your common sense. People don't vanish into thin air. We have a circumstantial case, there is no doubt about it. I have no direct evidence because the only people that know what happened are the murderers sitting in this courtroom and have testified. They're the only people alive. And they're certainly not coming on the stand and admitting to their crimes. So we have to use our common sense and apply circumstantial evidence. And I hope and pray for the victims in this case that you come to the right decision and hold this man responsible. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Bob Mata for our Defense Diaries. Thank you to Derek Wood from Defense Diaries. Thank you to Allison Mata from Defense Diaries. Thank you to Angela and John from Bravo Docket. And thank you to Jason Astory from Santa Maybe a Criminal. Thank you so, 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 so much. We are so, so sorry for running over time.
This court apologizes to whoever's next. Sorry about that.
If you are in the first three rows, please come see me off to the side, and I will explain your jury duties to you.
So that's it. What do you think? Was this all just a simple misunderstanding by a well-intentioned captain and his crew? Or was Frederick Solly Flood right? Was there foul play? As always, the decision now lies with you. For 3 seasons now, we've covered heroes, aviators, skyjackers, assassins, murderers, and thieves, all with one major thing in common. They all vanished. But for almost the entire time we've done this show, one case has stuck out. One story that's become the single most requested case for us to cover. Our next subject has been known by a lot of names. Outlaw, hero, murderer. But did this outlaw meet his demise at the hands of betrayal and a bullet, as history deems? Or is it possible that the legend of Jesse James is much more than any of you have ever known. The pages of history may insist that his final breath was drawn on the morning of April 3rd, 1882. But what I'm going to try to prove next is that the legend of Jesse James is so big that it allowed him to slip through the cracks of mortality, leaving us with a legacy that's far more chilling than the one we've all come to know. Oh, right, one more thing. Throughout his career, Jesse James met a lot of interesting people. One in particular that once revealed will have you questioning everything you ever thought you knew. Ready for a little universe building? You've now become a part of a bigger universe, you just don't know it yet. See you soon. This is Chris Williamson. Thank you for listening to this episode of Vanished. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please visit us on social media where we post each episode as it airs, news, show information, and group discussion. Go to facebook.com/vanishedpod, and on Twitter and Instagram, search the handle @vanishedpod. Reviews are crucial to the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please head to iTunes to rate us and leave us a review. It really does help get the word out. Your co-hosts for Vanished are Jennifer Taylor and Chris Williamson. The show is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by me, Chris Williamson. Music by Dane Jarrus Schmidt. The opinions on Vanished are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Evan Films, Inc. Chris Evan Films, Inc. is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. All clips and audio used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purposes of historical entertainment and education, and no infringement is ever intended. Vanished is an exclusive trademark of Chris Evan Films, Inc., and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Evan Films, Inc. All rights reserved. Vanished is a Chris Evan Films production. All rights reserved.